Hi, this is Elizabeth Smith-McCrossin, here to provide you with my weekly constituency MLA update for Cumberland North. Today is Monday, November the 13th, and my mission as your MLA for Cumberland North is to represent you, the people of Cumberland North, who I think are the most amazing people in the world. I'm an independent MLA and I work for you, based on the principles of democracy. Together, you and I can build a stronger Cumberland North each and every day based on the foundation of truth and justice, being determined and dedicated to change, to positive change, being honest about all things, being a servant leader and empowering all people. Together, I believe you and I can build a stronger Cumberland North, building on the strength of our veterans and also standing firm on four pillars, which I believe are excellence in healthcare, affordability, education in our children, as well as entrepreneurship in our economy. Other work that I focus on involves maritime collaboration and proving that, as well as protection of the Chignecto Isthmus, truth and justice for victims of sexual assault and family violence, and striving to find a way to stop and prevent future sexual assault and family violence. These priorities are in line with our vision for a positive, vibrant community here in Cumberland North. Every week as your MLA is very different, and last week was no exception. Most of my week last week was in Halifax as the Nova Scotia Legislature resumed for the fall session. So last Monday, I worked in the Amherst office in the morning and then traveled to Halifax for the legislative session, which was scheduled from 4 p.m. till midnight. I read a member statement last Monday on the importance of protecting the Chignecto Isthmus. There is not a question period on Mondays. It's one of the reasons that the government likes to call hours for Monday, even though it's not part of the regular House of Assembly plans. They like to be able to get the work done without having to face questions from opposition. So last Monday, there was Committee of the Whole. It resumed and Bill 320 was debated. And Bill 320 will place an additional tax on short-term rentals here in the province of Nova Scotia. And that was debated until close to midnight. On Tuesday, my morning was preparing for the legislature that afternoon, along with my staff, my team from here. And the session was scheduled from 1 p.m. until midnight again. I tabled Bill 400, which is an act respecting speed limits in high population density areas. Since I was first elected for the legislature, people have been asking about speed limits, having them lowered on provincially maintained roads, such as beach roads, and in some subdivisions. We all know that a speed limit of 50 kilometers per hour when people, children, and pets are present in high population are not safe. So the passage of Bill 400 would allow the Minister of Public Works as well as municipal traffic authorities to designate sections of road as being high population density areas and permit the speed limit in that area to be lowered to 25 kilometers per hour. The bill that I tabled last Tuesday would encourage municipalities to lower speed limits in highly populated rural areas and make it easier for them to do that. I have two provincial roads in particular that I hear regularly from the residents who live there who want the speed limit lowered from 50 kilometers per hour to 25 kilometers per hour. And those two roads are the Heather Beach Road as well as Seagrove. So we have a lot of people that live there year round as well as cottagers. And because they're on provincial roads, the speed limit is 50 kilometers an hour, which is quite fast when you have a lot of people living there as well as children playing close to the road. So I am hopeful the government will pass this bill. Although they did not pass it this past session, I will be having meetings with them following up to ask that they would consider doing so. On Tuesday, I also had a special guest in the Nova Scotia Legislature. I always love it when people from home are able to make their way down to Halifax and come as a guest to the Nova Scotia Legislature. And if you're listening and if you have any interest in that, please consider that for the spring. Usually we're in the legislature during the month of March or April. And if you're interested at all in seeing democracy in action, please consider coming down and visiting me when I'm in the legislature. It makes me very proud to introduce people from Cumberland County in the Nova Scotia legislature. So last Tuesday, I had Mr. Braden Lines come to the legislature. He's been an incredible active young man here locally with politics. He's very interested in democracy and community service. He's currently a student at St. Avex University, and last week was his reading week, so he had some time to have some flexibility to come into the city. So I wanted to let you all know I had Mr. Braden Lines visiting me last week. I introduced him in the gallery, and I also read a member statement honoring his father, Mr. Larry Lines, and I'm going to read that to you today. I rise today, Madam Speaker, to recognize Braden's father, Larry Lines, a devoted volunteer with the Amherst Little League. For over 30 years, Larry served in executive positions, helping with fundraising, and more importantly, coached countless young people in the art of baseball, resulting in too many pennants and league championships to count. This past summer, the league recognized Larry's dedication and commitment to the youth of Amherst by naming the newly constructed T-ball park in his honor. Larry worked for many years with Amherst Public Works Department and juggled that work with hours upon hours each summer at Little League Park. While he's still a fairly young man, unfortunately, Larry is experiencing dementia and resides in a local care home. I am certain every former baseball player who was coached and encouraged by Larry wishes him the best and thanks him for his unwavering dedication to the game he loved. Thank you, Madam Speaker. So I was very proud to read that while Braden was visiting me last Tuesday. Also last Tuesday, after question period, Committee of the Whole House resumed and Bill 323 was called for debate. This bill is a government bill and it replaces 21 pieces of legislation with one regulatory bill for healthcare professionals and places more power in regulations and in the executive branch of government. And I did provide a fairly lengthy debate on this bill. If you're interested in listening to that, you can go to the Nova Scotia Legislature online and just look up the date for last Tuesday. It starts at 4 hours and 42 minutes where my speech starts. I did share some concerns, and that is representatives of the 21 health professionals regulatory body did share that although there was some consultation leading up to the bill, they were not actually shown a copy of the bill and therefore did not have adequate time to provide input and feedback on how the bill could be improved until after it was tabled. And they did actually provide 9 pages of recommended amendments to the bill, which is kind of unheard of. And the government actually did take some of those amendments and make changes in Committee of the Whole. There are 3 branches of government: the executive branch, otherwise known as cabinet, the judicial branch, which is our court systems, our judges and crown prosecutors, and then there is the legislative branch. The legislative branch involves all 55 elected MLAs, and that allows for democratic input. So that is the branch of government that I'm involved with. When people call my office and let me know that they're currently involved in a court case or, say, child protective services, I am not permitted to be involved or interfere with the judicial branch of government at all, as well as cabinet. Cabinet is the 3rd branch of government that is run by the cabinet ministers and the premier and the premier's office. So the part of government that I am involved with is the democratic branch, which is the legislative branch. Every time a premier and their cabinet takes legislation, which MLAs get an opportunity to provide input to from the legislature, every time the cabinet takes that legislation and puts it into regulations, it moves the decision-making power from the legislative branch of government to the executive branch. And we are seeing more of that every session since this government began in August of 2021. And it is a whittling away of democracy, and it's something that people should be paying close attention to. This has been a common theme since this premier has come into power. And some may say there's nothing to be concerned about. It just gives cabinet the ability to make changes more quickly. But others would argue that that is exactly why these things should not be happening. So something just to be aware of. We are seeing more and more government corporations dissolved and the power put in cabinet, and then bills like this one here where the power is taken from piece of legislation that MLAs would provide input on and vote on, and that information is put into regulations. And regulations are all created by the executive branch, the cabinet branch of government, with no legislative input or voting on. Anyway, I just always like to provide a little education and share with you a little bit about how democracy works and what's happening there. Last Wednesday morning, I responded to phone messages and emails from home here, as well prepared for the legislative session with my staff. The session was scheduled from 1 p.m. to midnight again. I read a member statement thanking the executive director and board members of the Cumberland Homelessness and Housing Association. In question period, I was able to ask the Minister of Health and Wellness about the recruitment of family physicians for Pugwash and Amherst, and shared the concerns that many of you have shared with me. We have lost many physicians either from passing away or from retirement, and we are not seeing adequate recruitment of family physicians in these communities, in our community here in Amherst and in our community in Pugwash. As your MLA, I tried helping with physician recruitment and also had six local business people doing the same. But unfortunately, Nova Scotia Health, which is an arm of government, it's a branch of off of the Department of Health and Wellness, have told us they're not interested in our help and were very unwelcoming. And unfortunately, I had someone also from the Pugwash area offer to help with recruitment, and they also were told by Nova Scotia Health that they were not needed. So it is very important that if Nova Scotia Health are going to be unwilling to welcome help from our community, that they produce the results that the people here in our area need. And we're not seeing that, and that is why I addressed it in question period last week. Also, last Wednesday was Liberal Opposition Day, and they called Bills 401, Early Learning and Child Care Act amended, and Bill 306, the Serious Illness Leave Act. There was also two bills that everyone agreed and gave unanimous consent in the legislature to pass through without going through law amendments. And the two bills are Bill 119, the Endometriosis Awareness Day Act, which was an NDP bill, as well as Bill 396, the Sickle Cell Awareness Day Act, which was a Liberal opposition bill that had been tabled. So both of these bills were passed and allowed to go through without going to law amendments and committee of the whole. Last Wednesday, there was also a third reading of Bill 119, and then the House resumed into committee of the whole, where the debate continued and the following bills were passed for second reading: Bill 340, Municipal Reform Act; 339, Financial Measures Act amended; Bill 321, which was the Francophone School Act; Bill 322, Opioid Bill; and 334, Health Insurance Amended Act. And Thursday ended up being our last day of the Nova Scotia Fall Session. So the day started out at 1 o'clock in the legislature. We were scheduled till midnight, but I think we wrapped up around 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. There was not time to read a member statement, and after question period, we went into third reading of the final bills that needed to be passed, which included the Sickle Cell Anemia Awareness Act, Bill 396, the Electricity Act amended, 337, the Municipal Reform Act, Bill 340 Act, and of course that was a highly debated bill in the legislature, and it's the beginning of some reform for the service exchange agreement between the municipal governments and the provincial governments, and there will be more to come on that, I'm sure, in the next session and the one after, as well as Bill 329, which was an HRM housing bill, also highly controversial, where we are seeing again movement of power from people. In this case, it's the Halifax Regional Municipality and the power given to cabinet, and specifically the Minister for Housing, basically giving the minister unilateral authority over HRM when it comes to housing. Some say that that's needed. Others would say in an ideal world, it would be better to see our municipality and provincial government working together to get the results versus sort of the province removing the power against the will of the HRM council. So that was fairly controversial, and there was a lot of strong debate over that bill this fall session. There again was another bill, 320, passed in third reading, which was the Tourist Accommodation Registration Act, which again is related to housing. We're seeing the government place a tax on short-term rentals. So they're saying the intention is they're hoping that it will be a bit of an incentive for some people to take properties, take homes out of short-term rentals and start renting them to people so that there are more homes available for rent where we're seeing so many people without a place to live. And we're seeing other provinces take action on this as well and take similar steps. Bill 339 is the Financial Measures Act amendment. And again, we're seeing the Financial Measures Act open up in the fall session, which typically it is only done so during the spring session when the budget is passed. And we had saw some financial changes there, not the ones that I was hoping for. I've been advocating for the government to increase personal basic tax exemption as well as start indexing our income tax brackets so that Nova Scotia's not the highest taxed province in the country. But unfortunately, we did not see both of those measures being taken this session. We also saw another bill being passed, which I thought was a very good bill. It is Bill 332, which is an amendment to the Workers' Compensation Act, where they are starting to recognize stress and psychological trauma. And this has been something people have been asking for a long time. And when the fall session ended, we had the Lieutenant Governor, Ms. Arthur LeBlanc, come and close the session. And I was able to come home Friday back to Cumberland County and continue to do work responding to phone calls and emails from local constituents. Saturday was a very busy day, as per usual, for Remembrance Day. We have very active legions here in Cumberland County and had services remembering those that have fallen and sacrificed their lives for our country. Starting in Malagash, there was a church service at the United Church in Malagash at 10 a.m. and then a ceremony at the cenotaph followed in Malagash, and then a reception at the Legion in Malagash. And this year, that is where I started my day. And we have four services throughout Cumberland North, and every year I try to rotate so that I'm not always at the same one. And this is the first year, though, that I've had the honor of being at the Malagash Remembrance Day ceremony, and it was very highly attended. I'm not sure the exact number of people there, but well over 80 people, I would guess, at the ceremony in Malagash. And then there also was a ceremony in Wallace at the cenotaph there, as well as a church service at St. John's United that morning. In Pugwash, there was a cenotaph service at 11 a.m., followed by a service at the Wesley St. Matthews United Church, and then a reception at the Pugwash Legion Branch 60. And of course, something that I always look forward to every year is the Remembrance Day roast beef supper at 6 p.m. at the Pugwash Legion. And this year, there were several veterans there. We made sure we gave them a standing ovation and thanked them for their service. And then here in Amherst, there was a cenotaph service at Victoria Square at 10:45, followed by a wreath-laying ceremony at the United Church, then a reception at the Royal Canadian Branch Legion, Branch 10, followed by music from 2 to 5, and it was a good day. My husband was able to join me for the day, and we had a stop and visited each of the cenotaphs and went to each of the three legions that were open, as well as the Air Force Club. We went, and Evange Landry even had me up and sang a song, and I thought in honor of my grandfather, who served in World War II, I sang a song by the Judds, Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days. So certainly we have much to be proud of here in this area, where I believe that we do a really good job of honoring those who served in World War I, World War II, the Korean Wars, Afghanistan, Bosnia, and those that continue to serve this day. I would like to thank everyone that planned and organized all of the services here in Cumberland North and throughout all of Nova Scotia and Canada. I would like to extend birthday greetings to anyone who's celebrating this week, including Lacey St. Peter and Rebecca Taylor. On Tuesday, November 14th, Sarah Brownell. On Wednesday, November 15th, Anna Turner. Anna Turner is a beautiful woman that I grew up with in Linden. I want to extend birthday greetings to her, as well as Donna Greet. On Thursday, November 16th, Charles Ryan. And Charles, of course, has the farm with his wife, Jessie, Whimsical Farms, and just incredible farmers, and do a great job there with their organic vegetable farm. On Friday, November 17th, Justin McKay. And Justin, of course, is one of our veterans who has done incredible work, especially over this last year. He really led the work and brought everyone together to build that beautiful memorial for our Afghanistan fallen soldiers in downtown Amherst. So I hope Justin has a very special birthday this coming Friday, November 17th. And if you have an opportunity, please reach out to him and thank him for all he has done and will do in the future. On Saturday, November the 18th, Debbie Field is celebrating a birthday. Oh, happy birthday, and also happy anniversary to anyone who may be celebrating this week. I would like to extend my sympathies to anyone who has lost a loved one recently, including the family and friends of Ruby Meredith Brown, and certainly I'm thinking of her daughter, Wendy, and others at this time. Also, Lori Joseph Lorette, Raymond Joseph Tower, Herbert Henry Nickerson, Eleanor Christine Bristol, Walter Henry Maltby, Leslie Sharon Childs, Judy Ann Milner, and Bernadette Moffat Reed. And to anyone else who may have lost a loved one recently, please accept my condolences. I would like to extend my gratitude to those working at CFTA 107.9, Mr. James Hand and Mr. Ron Bickle and the whole crew there. And also let you know that my office is closed today in honor of Remembrance Day. My staff are having this day of rest, and my office will reopen Tuesday, November the 14th, 8:30 to 4:30. Please call my office if there's anything you need, 902-661-2288. And my staff and I will always do our best to respond in the most helpful way possible. We have several events coming up that I want to make sure that all of you are aware of. One is a very important day, December the 6th, and we are having our second annual Fearless event. And at this event, we will be hearing from victims of sexual assault as well as family violence and talking about ways to prevent and stop sexual assault and family violence here in our communities. There will also be a small reception and a sharing closet called Kate's Sharing Closet. And there there'll be clothes for children and for women that are free, of course. And if you have anything that you'd like to donate, please drop it off at my office, and we'll make sure that that gets put out for Kate's Sharing Closet at the Fearless event. That again is December the 6th, and it will be held in the evening at the Anglican Church. The actual presentations and discussion will be upstairs in the church, and the reception and Kate's Sharing Closet will be held in the hall downstairs following. Also, mark on your calendar, we're going to have a bluegrass music event on December the 10th at the United Church, St. Stephen's United Church, downtown Amherst. And it's going to be with Ray Legere, his band, and special guests. So more information to come on that. But really looking forward to hosting that. And all the profits, all the proceeds from this bluegrass musical event will be going to our food banks here in Cumberland North. Also, stay tuned for more information about my Christmas social, which will be held Thursday, December the 21st. Following that, we're going to be celebrating and having a New Year's Eve gala, and that will be held at the Amherst Regional High School to help ring in the new year. And again, all the proceeds, all the profits for the New Year's gala are going to be given to the food banks, both here in the town of Amherst and the village of Pugwash. That's it for my update today. Please reach out anytime if there's anything I can do to be of assistance. My staff and I are here to serve you, the people of Cumberland North. And we also respond to a lot of messages from other parts of the province, and we're always happy to help in any way that we can. If there's something we cannot fix or improve upon, we will do our best to find someone who can. So again, my number is 902-661-2288. My email address is elizabeth.smith-mccrossin@novascotia.ca. Have a great week. Remember to take care of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. Always doing your best to eat as healthy as possible, finding time to be active so that you can be physically fit, and take time for prayer and spiritual and emotional and mental wellness as well. Have a great week. Take care of others and take care of yourself.